Welcome back to Memory Static, the podcast that digs up the things you liked when you were little, talks about them, and throws a party to watch them. I'm your host, Bailey Moore, and I have two guests with me, Kelly and Micah Kegley-Taylor. Welcome, both of you.
Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for welcoming.
Welcome, Micah.
Hey. Glad to be here.
Yeah. Kelly is a guest on a soon to be released episode from the third season. And Micah, I'm sure, will have his own episode at some point eventually.
Yeah, he's the movie guy.
I may or may not be the movie guy.
So just a reminder here at the top for anybody listening, because this is a short subject episode, there will be no time machine and no song at the end. Also, unique to this episode, we will not be joined by the Static Gang for a post-viewing interview. We had to do that because our subject tonight was not streaming for free, at least not in pieces, but I had promised that I'd cover it in the last episode, and I must follow through. So, what are we discussing tonight?
How the Grinch stole Christmas.
The original.
Yeah, the original.
The made-for-TV one. From the 60s.
Yes.
Now, I assume that everybody's watched this as a child, but did y'all both watch this as a child?
Yeah, I did for sure at my grandma's house.
Me at my grandma's too, actually.
It's a grandma movie.
It's a grandma movie.
So How the Grinch Stole Christmas was released around the same time as a lot of other animated holiday classics. Can you guess which ones?
Rudolph?
Yes, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Miracle on 34th Street? I don't know. It's not animated, but sure, yep. That one.
I don't know if one of those came out in the 60s. There's one that's much older, so.
What about Frosty?
Frosty the Snowman? Two for Kelly? There's one more, Micah. Are you going to get it?
No.
It's Christmas. Is it Charlie Brown?
It is Charlie Brown!
Get out.
So much for the movie guy
so
over here.
So much for the movie guy over here.
Amazing, Kelly.
I love Christmas.
That's fair.
I love that you got all three.
That means he has to do the dishes tonight.
Oh.
He's going to do the dishes anyway.
So what did you think of the Grinch when you were little?
Obviously, as a kid, I wasn't like super in love with the Grinch. But as I've grown up, he's very near and dear to me.
Do you feel like there's a little Grinch in you?
Yes, 100%.
But can you describe what you're wearing right now?
Yeah, so we all, me, Micah, and our two dogs all have matching Grinch pajamas. Micah has a green shirt that says Merry Whatever. Mine's red that says Don't Be a Grinch. And then our bottoms are the Grinch and Max and little snowflakes and presents. And then the dogs also have that on their little outfits. And then we do have like a little Max horn.
Oh, yeah.
For the dogs, but they won't wear it.
No, they'll immediately.
I know.
Can y'all take a family portrait? Send it to me so we can put it on the Instagram.
Yes, absolutely.
Amazing. So, Micah, what did you think about the Grinch when you were little?
What did I think about the Grinch when I was little? Honestly, I thought that the Whos were mean for not inviting him. Because, you know, he's a mean, stinky guy. But just because he's mean and stinky doesn't mean that he doesn't like a nice big meal. That's what the holidays are really about, right?
Yeah, and the Whos should have learned something if they'd read fairy tales, you know?
Yeah.
You have to invite all of the fairies in the kingdom, or one of them gets really mad and curses your child.
I mean, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, they're lucky that the Grinch just stole their Christmas presents.
Versus their children.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
That just hit me. What?
She was talking about fairies. That's what fairies do.
Okay.
Yeah. One way to remember Christmas forever and what you did wrong during it. The saying.
What was Christmas like for y'all when you were little?
Oh, we've always done Christmas pretty big at my house. It's just now at our
Our
house
house.
instead of my parents. I always joke with my mom. I always tell her that she's turned into a Grinch because she no longer decorates. But it's out of love. I understand. She doesn't have a reason to. Nobody goes over to her house for Christmas, so that's all right. I'm gonna go over there sometime soon and steal all of her decorations and put them up in my house. So maybe I will be a real life Grinch in doing that. Literally stealing her Christmas decorations.
You just have to sneak in,
Dead of night, open up the attic
and
that's
take
right outside.
everything in really creative ways, like with a
Yeah.
pool cue or on
Just
a
place
tiny ladder.
a tiny ladder. You know what my favorite part in that movie is whenever they're eating dinner and there's like a guy with a tray. And then he opens it and it's like another guy with a tray all the way down to give it to the littlest, tiniest girl.
With just a strawberry in it.
Yeah. Or an apple or something. Yeah, it was like, oh my gosh. I was...
Yeah, the Whos are all about spectacle.
They are. It's so extra. Like, was this necessary? And who is paying those little men?
I thought about that too. I was like, is this a service that they're paying for?
Like, how rich is this little girl?
These Russian doll servers.
Like, seven of them just to give her an apple. Is this an everyday thing or is it just exclusive to Christmas?
Maybe it's a Who tradition.
That's
Maybe.
it. The youngest and the smallest. The youngest gets fed by the smallest person.
Oh.
There you go.
Micah, what was Christmas like for you?
Huge. We had three Christmases. Because oh yeah, you
Three.
three Christmases and each one bigger than the last. Because there was our Christmas, which was our immediate family, you know, simple, easy. Usually that fell either on the day if we were traveling or usually just before if not. There was Grandma's Christmas and there was Nanny's Christmas, basically opposite sides of the family. And we planned it out every single year so that the cousins on both sides would all be there together and we would all celebrate Christmas together. We did the same for Thanksgiving, and all three had enormous feasts the entire time, which is why one of my favorite things that the Whos have going for them is that they even carve the roast beast. You know, they have the big dinner. They have the happy ending moment is him cutting the roast beast. It's such a sweet, wonderful thing. And that's what Christmas is about, not hot dogs and hamburgers.
Can you explain
Yes,
what that reference is to Mike?
he is upset. Because we're going to his mom's Christmas this Saturday, which will be the December the 4th, and they are having hot dogs and hamburgers because it's hard to feed like 30 people.
It's 20 people. It's not that
20,
big a deal.
okay, 20 people with turkey and roast beast. We can't all have seven little men in a serving tray to give us an apple, okay? So he's mad because we're having hot dogs and hamburgers. So he's calling it the 4th of December because it's 4th of July food. But it's actually on December the
It is absolutely the 4th of July in
4th.
December. So it's the reverse of what people try and do during July to, you know, like get everybody in the Christmas spirit in July, Christmas in July. Yeah, no, it's the opposite.
It's the 4th
It's
of
the 4th of
December.
December.
Are you going to set off red and green fireworks?
I was really thinking about wearing red, white, and blue to this extravaganza. I asked what I could bring, and they were like, "Oh, just whatever. We won't know what all everyone else is bringing until the day before." And I said, "Do you want me to bring bigger and better food? Because I will cook a meal for 20 people." And I was told, "No, your uncle wanted to do hot dogs and hamburgers, so we're having hot dogs and hamburgers for the 4th of December.
We're also driving like 5 hours away, so it's not like we can cook a big turkey and bring it with
I
us.
can cook a big turkey and bring it with
You're
us.
not gonna be able to keep it hot.
There are ways. It's called hot gel packs, and you can put it inside a cooler and it will ride hot all the way.
Micah, you get what you get and you don't throw a fit.
Micah, I just have to point out that you're sounding a little grinchy.
Yes.
This is not my tradition. This is the Grinch thrown into a different planet. So, you know what? That's fine. I can be Grinchy. If that's the way it is perceived, I will be the Grinch of this Christmas. I wanted to have joy, happiness, and bring plenty of food, but instead, hot dogs and hamburgers for the 4th of December.
But what will I wear?
But what will I wear? Obviously, red,
Red,
white,
white,
and
and blue.
blue. I mean, what is it? A who? I don't know what to do. Oh my, oh me, oh moo. That's
That was
what.
some, really, really good improvised Seussian literature right there.
Thanks.
Oh my God.
Well, so any great Christmas stories from childhood?
Yeah, I have one. My grandma, who loved Christmas, she was big on Christmas. She used to want to make sure that everyone had a present to open, or like lots of presents. I think she was more about the aesthetic of having just a big tree with a lot of presents underneath. So she used to wrap up ramen noodles so that we would just have stuff, like the kids would just have stuff to open.
Amazing. I love that.
It's really sweet. For me, typically, regardless of if it's Thanksgiving or Christmas, it's all about the food. You got to have that nice sharing
Okay,
moment where you
okay.
spend hours dedicating yourself to one individual task. Everybody brings a dish. It's like a potluck, Or, if you're stressed, you could do hot dogs and hamburgers, I guess. Rah! Okay, I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. No,
All
no.
right,
I
okay.
promise.
I did ask for a my size Barbie 3 years in a row, and whenever I finally got it, I was bigger than the Barbie. But I was not gonna let that dream go. Yeah, it was like a My Little Sister Barbie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, do y'all want to learn about this special?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, I have a lot of stuff to tell you, and it's gonna go all over the place.
All
That's
right, I'm
fair.
ready for this roller coaster.
Okay. So, are you ready for a deep dive into the very heart of the Grinch?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's the small one or the big one, but we can figure that out. Okay, before it was a television special, the one that we know and love, it was what?
A book.
It was a book. Well, did you know that How the Grinch Stole Christmas was not the Grinch's first appearance in a Dr. Seuss poem?
What?
Right? I was completely caught off guard. So, published 2 years earlier was a poem called The Hubbub and the Grinch, which appeared in a magazine called Red Book. And Red Book is a women's magazine that was established in 1903 and primarily focused on fiction short stories until the 80s, when it kind of changed more towards like other things. Over the decades, it featured famous authors such as Jack London, F. Scott Fitzgerald, and Dashiell Hammett, and obviously Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, I was waiting for the drama.
Now, Red Book will be mentioned again later briefly. Now, I could not find The Hubbub and the Grinch in its entirety online because it was basically lost for many, many years, as it had only appeared in that one issue of Red Book. That is, until a Dr. Seuss scholar named Charles D. Cohen compiled a collection of all of the magazine printed Dr. Seuss stories in a book called Horton and the Quugger Bug,
Oh.
which was published in 2013. 2013. Sorry,
Oh, that's
2013. it hasn't been widely available for very long. And that's not the only one. He published another book with more short stories. I just didn't write that one down, so I can't remember what it's called. So I couldn't find it in its entirety, but I do have an excerpt from that poem. In it, the Grinch is kind of a con man trying to convince a creature called a hubbub that was previously minding its own business to buy a piece of string because it is way more valuable than the sun.
Sure.
I believe it.
Oh, okay. So the hubbub is dubious at first, but is worn down by the end of the poem. So this is what the Grinch says. That sun, let me tell you, is dangerous stuff. It can freckle your face. It can make your skin rough. When the sun gets too hot, it can broil you like fat. But this piece of green string, sir, will never do that. This piece of green string is colossal, immense. And to you, well, I'll sell it for 98 cents. And I'm sorry to say that Grinches sell hubbub such things every day.
Well, that sounds like a bargain.
Right, 98 cents?
98, yeah. Not even 99.
Yeah.
Man.
For a harmless piece of string?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm with the Grinch on this one.
A green piece of string, too.
I'm actually with the Grinch on pretty much everything, so.
Yeah. You've got the, what's the word I'm looking for?
Grinchiness.
Well, you have, like, the shared thing in common. What is that? What is that word I'm searching for?
Something in common.
That's not the word I'm searching for, but sure.
Synergy.
So I sympathize with him.
Yeah.
Look, he was a man who liked solitude, and he was upset because they were so loud in the mornings.
That's true. That loud on Christmas Day, like, that's wild.
Are you kidding me? That's probably his only day off.
Christ.
Yeah.
But did you notice how at the end it says Grinches?
Oh. More than one.
Yeah. And y'all listened to the episode on Halloween is Grinch Night, right?
Yeah.
And we had postulated that maybe there was more than one Grinch terrorizing more than one Whoville. Yes. Well,
yeah.
There's the proof.
There's the proof.
Grinches.
The proof is in the poem.
The proof is in the poem. Amazing, Kelly. Yeah, but I guess not all Grinches are focused on who's, because this was a hubbub.
Oh, well, yeah.
So anyway.
Anywho.
That's actually what I had in my notes, and then I didn't do it.
You got scared.
So we have that synergy.
That thing.
Yeah,
something in common.
Anywho, How the Grinch Stole Christmas was published by Random House in 1957 and was also published in Red Book magazine around the same time. And Dr. Seuss was inspired to write this book after he caught himself in the mirror one day while he was grumbling about the commercialization of Christmas. So he decided to write about that Grinchy countenance in the mirror to try to rediscover something about the holiday that he had lost.
So the Grinch is a personification of his own feelings.
Yes.
Towards the holiday.
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
Wow. It's like, yeah.
The Grinch is Dr. Seuss.
And Dr. Seuss is all of us.
The proof is in the poem.
The proof is in the poem.
Okay. Before we get to the television special,
sure.
We have to go back in time.
Okay.
All the way back from 1957. To 1944.
Oh.
How, what was happening in the world in 1944?
It was 5 years before my dad was born.
Sure, that sounds like a big event right there. 5 years before,
it
nothing
was.
Else. Yeah. 1944? Nothing big going on there except for 5 years before dad.
I don't know what to tell you.
I'll give you a hint. It starts with a W. Ends with a R.
That pales in comparison.
Fair.
So, can someone say it?
World War II.
Thank you, Micah.
No problem.
So, The United States had been involved in the war for a few years by then.
Yeah.
Since 1944. And shortly thereafter, entering the war in 1941. Did I say 1944? 1941 yeah. is when the United States entered the war. And shortly after they entered the war, a section of the military called the First Motion Picture Unit was formed that was made up entirely of film industry professionals. Have y'all heard of this before?
No.
I have.
You have? Cool. I had a lot of fun learning about this. Okay, so this unit produced over 400 propaganda and training films. Some were released theatrically, some were just meant for internal use within the military, and were treated like secrets.
I didn't realize they were treated like secrets. I knew all the propaganda.
Yeah, they were ones that the public were not supposed to know about or okay. wasn't supposed to be released to them. So many of these films were animated. And it's widely held that this military unit is responsible for the animation studios of the time remaining functional because they were designated as essential work during the war effort for these propaganda films.
Makes sense.
So if you've ever seen any of the wartime Bugs Bunny or Disney shorts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was part of this. That was related to this. Okay. We are about to talk about some of those secret films that I mentioned before.
Okay.
There was a series of films featuring a character called Private Snafu, created by director Frank Capra. Do you know who that is?
No, but I like him already.
Okay. Frank Capra directed Mr. Smith Goes to Washington and It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, yeah.
As well as other movies. It's a Wonderful Life is relevant, right? Because that's a Christmas movie.
Sure.
Yes.
So in the name Private Snafu, Snafu is an acronym. Do you know what that stands for?
Snow.
Snow?
I was going to guess, but I don't. Nobody argues for undeniably.
Stuff no one argues for undeniably. Good. Yeah, that's exactly what it means.
Thank you.
But in these cartoons, it stood for situation normal, all fouled up.
Sure.
I think mine was better.
Situation normal, all fouled up. Except that was a watered down version of what it actually stood for. In the shorts, which were training videos, Private Snafu does everything wrong, often with terrible consequences, to show the opposite of what you should do as a soldier. They used simple language so they would be easy to understand. And because they did not have to be sent to the Production Code Administration for approval, they had free rein to use profanity and nudity.
Oh, told you I liked it already.
Anybody that doesn't know what the Production Code or the Hays Code was, it was a series of moral guidelines that were enforced on any film after 1934 if that film had any hopes of being screened in an American theater. This kind of went away in the 70s. It doesn't really exist now. Like, now we have ratings for movies instead. There were a lot of problems that came along with the Hays Code. It did a lot to marginalize people and stifle creativity, but that is an entirely different subject that I don't really have time to tackle right now.
I took a class on it in college.
It's fascinating. It is a lot. Yeah, you took a whole class on it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can't do that right now. Okay, so back to Private Snafu. Warner Brothers won the bid for exclusive rights to produce the shorts. So who do we have directing them? None other than our favorite Chuck Jones. And who do we have voicing the characters? Why? Mel Blanc, of course.
Of course.
Now, we've talked about both of these guys on several episodes, but as a refresher for listeners, who is Chuck Jones? He wrote, produced, and directed many Looney Tunes and Merry Melodies.
Yes, I did know that.
And do y'all know who Mel Blanc is?
Mel Blanc.
He's the voice.
You drawing a Blanc? Oh.
Is he Porky? Birds and Bugs.
He's all of them. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's a voice actor, the man of a thousand voices, who voiced most of the classic Looney Tunes, including Bugs and Daffy, amongst others, including Porky Pig. So the team that was writing the shorts were all later well known for their children's literature, which is funny considering what they were writing for Private Snafu. One of them was, of course,
How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Interesting.
one of the writers,
Grinch.
Theodore Geisel, who is.
Dr. Seuss. My answer is Dr.
Help
Seuss.
me! Why are you just sitting there?
Dr. Seuss.
Gonna be saying stupid answers.
There you go, Micah. You didn't get those three holiday specials, but you got World War II and you got Dr. Seuss. So there you go.
That's it. That's all I
Now
need.
you're only washing one third of the dishes.
That's
Oh no.
Okay, where was I? The other people writing on this team, one of them was P.D. Eastman, who wrote Are You My Mother and Go Dog Go.
Okay.
Did y'all what read Go Dog Go?
No.
Yes. I would have said no until, I don't know, I just saw like a little image pop up in my head.
Was it two dogs and hats?
Probably, yeah.
Because I think about this book all the time. You have two dogs that come in on either side and one of them's wearing a hat and they say, "Hello again. Hello. Do you like my hat? No, I do not like your
Yes.
hat. Goodbye again.
Yes.
Goodbye."
Yes. That was not the book that I was thinking of, but I know what you're talking about. Yes.
And I could
So
never decide if
it's
this other dog
girl.
was being rude or just direct.
Gross.
Just direct.
Gross. It's a
Just
child's waiting for Godot.
He was being honest. That's a good friend right there.
Go, dog, go. Oh my gosh.
They're good cops.
Waiting for Godot.
Yes, Micah.
I'm blown away.
Go dog go. Wow. Micah.
Yeah.
Profound.
That was better than my drawing a blank.
Is that not what it is? Like, that sounds exactly what it is. Two guys who are waiting for a guy, and the third guy is Godot. And the answer is he never shows. It is literally different ways of saying that they're waiting for Godot over and over and over and over and over and over again. And then you just described two dogs who basically had a very waiting for Godot moment. And that's why I'm like, that's got to be. It's like
Because
the
they have that interaction several times throughout the book.
that's all waiting for Godot, the show is.
Oh
It's
my
different
gosh.
variations of the same thing.
I just
Okay,
love that
I
phrase of
want you
it.
to write a 500-word paper.
Oh,
Yes,
compare and
yes, yes,
contrast.
yes.
Go Dog Go versus Waiting for Godot.
Yes.
Okay,
On my
see.
desk next Monday. The last person on the writing team that also was known later for children's literature is named Munro Leaf, who wrote the story of Ferdinand the Bull.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, so these Private Snafu shorts are all declassified at this point and within the public domain. So you can easily find them on YouTube. Please keep in mind that if you do check them out, anyone at home, as with many wartime propaganda films of the time, there are offensive caricatures in it. I mean, that just kind of goes with any old cartoons, too.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Now, as interesting as wartime cartoons are, there is a reason I bring all of this up. Because Chuck Jones and Dr. Seuss both worked on these Private Snafu cartoons. After working together on the Private Snafu shorts several years later, Chuck Jones wanted to adapt one of Dr. Seuss' short stories. At this point, Chuck Jones had left Warner Brothers, which we talked about in our Gay Paris episode, and his independent studio, Sib Tower 12, had been absorbed by MGM Studios, which we covered in the Phantom Tollbooth episode.
Yes.
And Chuck Jones very much wanted to adapt one of Dr. Seuss's books into an animated TV special. Dr. Seuss, though, took some convincing because he had written a feature called The 5,000 Fingers of Dr. T, which failed miserably. It's a live-action movie that was written by Dr. Seuss.
5,000 fingers of Dr. T.
Yes.
A guy with 5,000 fingers?
No, I think so. I watched a trailer, and what I was able to glean is that there's a giant piano, and they have 500 children playing the piano at once. So they all together, it's 5,000 fingers.
Oh.
And
Where is this Dr. T come in? Dr. T?
I think that's the person that owns the piano. Like the trailer was very confusing. So this movie did not do well, and the critical response to it in more modern times is a little kinder to it than the contemporary ones. It has somewhat of a cult following, but it's still kind of thought to drag. I'd be really interested to watch it, to be honest. So it took some convincing, but he was convinced. And Dr. Seuss was involved in the adaptation of How the Grinch Stole Christmas, including writing the lyrics for the songs in the movie, which are not in the book.
Oh,
So, name one of the songs.
you're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
And that was sung by Thurl Ravenscroft, who was the voice of Tony the Tiger.
How cool! Yeah, I can hear it.
Yeah, you're a mean one, and you're great.
Yes.
Okay, so what's another one of the songs?
Fa-fu-ore. Fa. I don't know. I don't know the
It's
word.
Dahu Dores
Yeah.
Fabuforis.
Oh, okay.
To avoid any direct associations with the religious aspects of Christmas, they used Seussian Latin instead of any real Latin, but people were
Oh.
confused by it, and they wrote letters into the studio asking for a translation of the Latin in the songs.
Oh.
This soundtrack won a Grammy that year for Best Children's Album.
Oh.
Yeah. The rest of the film is narrated by Boris Karloff, who Dr. Seuss originally did not want to cast because he didn't want it to be too scary.
He's a spooky guy.
Is he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What does he do?
Oh, well, I'm so glad you asked. Boris Karloff is an actor who was best known for his roles in horror films, the most iconic role being the Frankenstein monster in the Universal monster classic Frankenstein.
Oh.
It was him and Bela Lugosi. Those were the two monsters in Hollywood. Like, there was no one else. Oh, there's Bela Lugosi. He's the bad guy. Oh, there's Boris Karloff. He's going to be real stiff. I don't know.
Okay, Kelly, you know the song Monster Mash?
Yeah.
So that's not Boris Karloff singing, but the guy is doing a Boris Karloff impression.
Oh, okay.
Can
Start
you
talking
kind of.
about music. You bring me back into it.
Yeah, she's got music all day.
Can you hear the voice of the Grinch and the voice of Monster Mash and kind of like draw a
Yes.
comparison?
Yeah.
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 So the Boris Karloff went on to record an LP narrating the story with the songs worked in, and he won a Grammy for spoken word category, which was the only major award that he won during his career.
Wow. I said that's sad.
That is sad. It is really sad. He did win some awards posthumously.
Well, sure, but that's because they realized,
We
oh,
should have recognized this person while they were alive. Yeah.
should've Shakespeared that guy. Like instead we're gonna actually Shakespeare that guy.
All right, so I'm almost done, but I will end with my favorite bit of trivia.
Okay.
So this film was aired in 1966, and by that time, all televised networks had switched to full color schedules, which affected a very particular aspect of this special. Can you guess what?
The budget.
Well, yeah.
That's
Sure, the
a really good guess. From black and white to color. The budget.
Well, because I looked up the budget and I was like, $315,000 in the 60s.
That's a lot of money.
For a 26-minute cartoon?
For television.
And Micah was like, yeah, because it had to be in color and it's the beginning of color cartoons.
Yeah, well, I didn't include this, and so I don't know what the exact number was, but the Peanuts cartoon came out the year before, and the budget for that was much, much smaller than this one, which I think it's obvious. I think it's apparent, like, not only because it's in color, but also the animation is really good for television. Most animation that was made for television, they didn't spend as much time on it.
Yeah.
And it's obvious that they spent some time on this one.
Well, yeah, it's lasted forever. It's held up. I wouldn't have guessed that it would have been done in the 60s.
Yeah, I mean, the animation is much better than Frosty.
Yeah. Night and day, like, truly.
So, any other guesses?
It's your turn.
It's my turn to guess wildly.
Yeah, it's your turn to make a fool out of yourself.
The length? Question mark?
That the full color schedule affected the length?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, that's a good guess. No.
That's okay.
So, in the book, the illustrations are in black and white, including the Grinch.
Oh, interesting. So what color is the Grinch?
The Grinch is green.
Yeah.
So the televised special established the Grinch's color.
That's amazing.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Oh.
So why do you think that green was chosen?
Because it looks like a booger.
And the Grinch is a booger?
Yeah. Grinch is a booger. That's
He's
it.
Supposed to be unlikable.
Green's associated with Christmas. So I would go with it is green with envy, green, sort of green Christmas. Like it's a negative color emotion. While
symbolic.
Yeah, a symbolic issue. There we go.
Yeah. I think that both of those are really good and logical guesses.
It's entirely wrong. Go ahead.
Well, you would have never guessed. So purportedly, sure. Chuck Jones chose the shade of green because it was the color of every rental car he ever drove.
Oh. Poor Chuck Jones, man.
Really? But I can't tell if that's endearing or if it's just like, I hate driving green rental cars.
That color associates me with hating everything. Or
yeah, like, another green car?
Or if he's like, man, these cars are really nice. I really like these. Like,
no.
I'm gonna make this iconic character
this
green.
This iconic character is green because I like this rental car.
The only rental car you've ever driven, you were like, oh, I'm getting one of these. This is so nice. It's a Ford.
Yeah, it was way too small for me, too.
No, you said you liked it.
Yeah, it was still too small. I'm always too big.
I'm just saying that maybe the rental car aspect could have been positive.
I see that the position that you're taking, Kelly, just to make Micah more of a Grinch. Aww.
Everything I want to say just like strikes me as, well, that sounds more Grinchy. So I've just been like, nope, can't say that. Nope, can't say that.
I stand by it.
It looks like booger. A booger. Sure. Which is the cars that you
booger
drove.
Cars.
Booger cars.
Well, that is all I have. And this would be the part where we join the party, but we've got no party to join. Oh. So I thought we could end with sharing some of our favorite parts of the special. And I know that y'all shared some of them already, but perhaps there are more favorite parts.
Other than the roast beast at the end, which I thought was super duper cute, period.
She gives her piece of roast beast to to Max
mm-hmm.
before she eats it.
Aww. Honestly, one of my favorite parts is a really silly, stupid part. It's where the Grinch puts the giant antlers on top of Max's head, and then Max does the...
It weighs him down.
Yeah, and the Grinch doesn't just, like, think of practical. He really does, like, he has his dog and he loves his dog in his own weird way. So when he shaves his horns off, he makes sure that it's the right amount of shaved. He doesn't little still leave it like uneven for him. It is a single one straight up the middle, nice and balanced, where he can still continue going. I thought that was really sweet and really unlooked at because, you know, it's what a dog owner would do.
My childhood dog, his head was so big that that happened to him just naturally. Whenever he would like eat, whenever he was a little baby, he would like go to eat something and his back legs would come up and eventually he'd tumble over. Very real serious problem for small dogs.
Max was a small old dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had a well-balanced head though.
You
Gotta
know,
give him that.
when I was thinking about what my favorite part was before I watched it, I was thinking it was gonna be like the song, you know? The song's great. But watching it this time around, my favorite parts are all the interactions between the Grinch and Max. They're just really
Yeah.
funny.
Yes.
Like the Max holding up the mirror so that the Grinch can check his Santa hat is really great and a very creative shot. Also, when they run up the side of the hill and go upside down, and Max just kind of waves at him and then grabs a hold of his head, instead of prying him off and lifting him off of his head, he reaches over, pries him, and then shimmies his whole body like through Max to get him off of his feet.
Yeah.
There's just some really funny gags there.
I think my favorite line out of the whole show, though, is he puzzled and puzzled and puzzled till his puzzler was sore. I thought that was really good, just use of a plosive. So there we
Ah,
go.
plosive.
Now, yeah,
Ooh.
somebody got a degree in theater and remembers one word.
I also wanted to, like, something that stood out to me was like when they're talking about all of the Who traditions, they have like their gum guzzler and whatever, and just like all these Seussian words, like for instruments that they play and the food that they eat and the games that they play, except for lacrosse and croquet.
Yes.
Suddenly, there's like two familiar things that they do.
Crossover.
That's just European enough that we can just toss it in there. Like, that's just like, no one will know. America doesn't know.
Also like whenever that little part where his what is that called? His little hairdo and it like
Oh,
his
you know what I
eyebrows.
mean? That those are his eyebrows are at the top of his
No,
head.
it's the Grinch's hair point
Oh.
and it splits and
Then it
curls.
splits and it
curls.
looks like a little mustache, but it's his hair.
Yeah, I
And
got
he
you.
gives that big smile and his I use that as a gif all the time whenever I respond to people at work.
Oh, because he gives like a devious smile when it happens too. It's like the hair is a is an extension of the expression that he's giving.
Yes.
He has fully expressive hair.
Yeah, he's evil all the from the very
Excuse me.
tippy top of his head to his crusty toenails.
Also, something that I don't hear anybody talk about is that transformation that he undergoes, where his heart goes three sizes, because all at once he understands the meaning of Christmas.
Would also be dead.
Yes, that it is a medical concern. But I was going to say, like, it's a tremendous transformation because when he is stealing Christmas, he is gleefully doing it. He's not
Yeah.
just like angry and jealous and feels like it's done out of spite. It's not just done out of spite. He is enjoying it.
Yeah,
Yeah.
he
He's
should.
full on sadist mode. And suddenly, like, this realization hits him and his eyes turn from red to blue. And then he's like, I get it. Now I can go join the Who's and
Okay,
carve the
but
roast beef.
also he Whenever Cindy Lou Who catches him in the act, he gets her a glass of water and sends her off to bed. He could have kidnapped her.
But as we know from the Grinch and the Whobub, the Grinch or Grinches are con men. And he came up with the lie, he thought it up quick, and that was just part of it. He's an actor
Yeah.
and
So he
he
was just
committed to the
method
bit.
acting. He was Saint Nick all the way, 100%. What would Saint Nick do?
Yes.
WWSND.
And then as soon as the audience left, he dropped the act.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, he could have kidnapped her.
Bad fairy.
Bad fairy. Well, do y'all have any more thoughts about the special?
I think it's a great family-friendly movie, and I highly recommend it. 10 out of 10 stars from me.
Yeah, for all of you who still haven't seen it, definitely go to your local theater and ask for them for a live showing, because...
Go to your you say movie theater or just theater?
Yeah. Movie theater.
Movie theater and ask for a live show.
No, just go to your regular run-of-the-mill theater and ask for the actors to really get into the spirit of Christmas.
No, I want the TV special version. Start again.
Start again. No.
Take it from the top.
No. That's not how you pronounce that Whovian word. Thank you very much. Please.
Wait. I did not see your hair curl when you were making that expression.
Where's the stage manager? I need props on this immediately. I want a curling mustache hairpiece.
You got to send the sled all the way up the hill so it goes completely upside down. And then lands. Okay, let's rehearse it again.
No special effects. I want the real deal.
Yes.
We're the stunt doctors.
Well, thank you very much, both of you, for joining me on this one. This has been a lot of fun.
Yes, thank you for having us.
Thank you so much, Bailey.
Well, I hope that you have a merry 4th of Christmas. And...
Happy 4th of December to you too, Bailey.
And this has been Memory Static. Return your videos here.
Return your videos here.
Return your videos here.
Thank you for listening to Memory Static. This episode was produced and edited by me, Bailey Moore. A special thanks to my two guests for this episode, Kelly and Micah Kegley Taylor. And I have some big news. Cullen and I have finally finished the song for the first episode of the next season. Everybody be excited. So I'll be releasing that in early January, so keep an ear out for that. Also, if you happen to be in the Austin area, I'm having a small screening for my birthday on the 18th of December. You can find details about it on the Memory Static Facebook page. If you have been enjoying the podcast, please consider rating and reviewing the podcast or become a patron on Patreon. If you have any stories you'd like to share about any of the movies we've covered and any of the episodes, email me your stories at memorystatic@gmail.com. I would love to read them. Well, in terms of 2021, that's all, folks. Happy holidays, and we'll join you again in the new year. Bye.